Hello and welcome to Beheaded.
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 3.
I'm Megan Moore.
And I'm Elizabeth Black.
Got a spooky episode.
We do for Noir November,
November.
It's already going to be released in December, so.
Whoa.
I know.
It's almost December.
But like midnight tonight is December, which by the time we release this, it's very much December. So we'll call it Dark December. How about that?
I like, you know, every season we can somehow turn into a spooky, aesthetically themed.
I think so. I struggle, and I've mentioned this on the podcast. I hate the beginning of the year. Like, I hate quarter one, right?
I do, too.
I think all those months are super boring.
I hate March.
Thank you.
March. It's my least favorite month.
You have the worst birthday.
Shockingly, because in Arizona is probably the best weather of the entire year. Something about March is like, ugh.
I know. I've mentioned this before, like, you got the new year and you're excited about January. But then January keeps going and you're like, oh, we're here now. And then it's like Valentine's Day and St. Patty's Day and it's March and it's rainy and it's boring. Like, things don't get exciting until like May. May, you're like, okay.
Like, Cinco de Mayo, cool. And then you're like,
yeah,
tequila
like,
season.
Memorial Day.
Margaritas.
And then it's summer and summer's awesome and then fall's awesome and then winter's fun because all the holidays. And then you get back to these few shitty months. We're not even there yet, so I shouldn't even
impress. We should not be complete. We're in the thick of it. Holidays are upon us.
This is a good time. This is a great time.
We just finished Thanksgiving. We are heading into the holiday season.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really fun. Hung out with some, it's kind of a funny story. Like, old family friends, but also newly reacquainted.
Like, adult friends.
Yeah,
my
childhood friends that, like, I'm now, like, you know, from California, and now she and her husband live down the street, and it's, you know, it's been good. And, her dad came and got to spend the holiday with us, and yeah, it was fun.
That's fabulous.
It was good.
Did you cook anything?
I was in charge of the charcuterie board, which, as we know,
we excel at.
My specialty.
It's funny because I've never considered myself a good charcuterie maker. But I think because of our podcast, I've gotten, like, so much better. And now I'm the designated, like, anytime I'm invited to a party or, like, host something, everyone's like, well, you're the charcuterie person. I'm like, I am? Like, when did I do that?
I mean, in all honesty, Trader Joe's is the charcuterie.
Yes.
Which I like, in hindsight, I realize we pitch Trader Joe's maybe, like, 4 to 5 times a season.
But more than our actual advertisers.
Which I kind of forgot about.
We need to incorporate them again.
I forgot about all
of them.
We're
so sorry. We're going to put you back in the show.
You know.
At some point.
No, it was good. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. So Robbie and I just went over to my dad's house. So my dad's like not a native to Arizona person, but he's going to be living here when he retires. So he's getting more acclimated and spending more time here. We made carrot pudding and scalloped potatoes, which are really good and really
nice.
Cheesy. It was more of like a casserole, I guess. Well, I guess it's normally a casserole. But we put like breadcrumbs on the top and burnt it a little bit. Oh. It was so tasty.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, we were there. We got the dog. It was a whole good little shindig.
Nice.
And I like it because it was just the right amount of people. Like, I remember as a kid, like, it just being crazy. I have a million cousins and family, and
such
you always have to be a million places, and like I always just thought that's how holidays were. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh, you don't have to do that every time. Like, you can kind of choose who you spend your time with, and it's nice. I like the freedom of just existing, I suppose.
That's our mindset for the holiday season. Just be grateful to,
like,
be existing.
I just want
to
exist and do what you do, you know? Like, don't be stressed, just like go with the flow.
Do it.
Those of you that have to go to big family gatherings, like, find your sweet spot. Maybe the first, like, 10 minutes, you're super social, and then you get an excuse to, like, be off in a corner the rest of the time or something.
Yeah, I don't know. This season just brings out, like, the angriest of people. And, like, I know about this. I work in customer support, and it is always – it's so ironic. It's during the holiday season. People are the meanest.
They
like, are. They're so mean. They're so nasty. And I have to listen to these call recordings and also, like, actually talk to the people. And
right.
My request for everybody, if you ever need to talk to anyone in customer service
– be nice.
It doesn't matter where they're located –
or how, like, high up in the company they are. Like, Megan shouldn't be talking to customers, but she still is.
I don't know. It's, you know? Like, you know, everybody wants to talk to somebody higher every single time.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm it. Like, you hit level 10. You hit the boss level. Congratulations, Karen. You hit boss level.
I used to always say that in, like, my first job I had on the phones. I'd be like, where does the buck stop? Like, stop passing the buck. I'm like, no, buck stops here. Like, I am where the buck stops. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. But I'm also one of those fools because Black Friday. I'm not crazy. I'm not rude. But our friend Lisa and I, we did go to the mall on Black Friday, that was very adventurous. Well, and
in my mind, I think you needed to blow off some steam.
I did.
And naturally, you went to a mall on a Friday night on Black Friday.
To one of my favorite places on this planet.
It's the crappiest place in the world. We're not even going to mention the name, I think.
Why not?
Because we don't want to offend anybody who might, you know, have an affiliation with that place. But it's a big, crappy mall in... Rhymes with Schmandler.
Oh, I was talking about the restaurant.
Oh, you could talk about the restaurant. Give it away. Just go ahead. What's your favorite restaurant in the whole world, Megan?
The Rainforest Cafe. I have loved this place since I was about 10 years old. You just go in.
I think most people like it as 10-year-olds.
Like, just the nostalgia and, like, the gorillas pounding, the elephants. The rainstorm that comes. Yeah, there's a thunderstorm every 20 minutes.
Okay.
We timed it. And they have a great appetizer sampler. There's nothing more fun.
Yeah.
Than wearing stupid Christmas shirts and getting drunk at the bar at the Rainforest Cafe while eating an appetizer sampler. We're talking mozzarella sticks, potato skins. And I've talked about before, if I were to have like a death meal, like the day before my execution, it would be an appetizer sampler.
Like bar food appetizers?
Yeah. Nachos.
Okay.
We did that.
And did you sit at the bar the whole time or did you request a table where you could be nearer to the gorillas? What other
we took a little walk
there?
To the bathroom and like did a little tour.
That's nice.
And of course you like check out the gift shop. It's a whole to do. But after that we did, I was like gung-ho to get my ears pierced. My second holes.
This is funny to me because Megan asked me, like, in all honesty, probably the last time we got together for podcasting, and she was like, hey, like, do you want to come with me? Because I might go get my ears double pierced. I was like, what? I was like, you already have, like, pierced ears. She's like, no, like, the double piercing.
It's a popular thing. But a lot of people do that.
I think that was popular, like, Y2K, like, elder millennial. Like,
no, like, it's coming back.
I don't know if it is. If you're a Gen Z person, let us know because I don't think it's back.
I think it's back. I personally like it. I have, like, some temp ones right now just to feel it out.
I thought she got them pierced. She, in fact, doesn't.
I wanted to get it. I tried to get them pierced. So
tell us what happened.
Embarrassingly enough, after... Well, we bought, first of all, like the light-up souvenir cups from Rainforest Cafe. And, you know, those can get you in trouble because they fill it.
Those are probably like $25.
Actually, they weren't that expensive.
Like, how much were they?
I don't know. But we shared an appetizer and I had, gosh, at least two drinks, if not three.
I was going to say two for you is very
probably
conservative
three.
Making.
And the souvenir cup, and I paid $40.
Damn, that's a deal.
It's a deal. It was also Black Friday.
let's go there this Friday.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to go get my ears pierced. And first of all, great idea. We didn't finish all the chicken fingers in our appetizer, so I stuffed them in my souvenir cup and put them in my purse.
Clean cup.
They did clean out the cup. And okay. Then I got to... And so I was walking around the mall smelling like chicken fingers. That was probably the first mistake.
So she had chicken tendies cup walking around. Said mall. In Schmandler.
Schmandler, Arizona. And then I went to Claire's.
Yes.
And I picked out the earrings I wanted. It was $56.
So you get your ears pierced?
Yes.
Damn. To put a hole in your ear.
And I realize you're all laughing. I get it. Claire's is where 12-year-old girls go and younger. I get it.
Yeah.
I thought they'd have the best deal. And I like that they do the gun, which everyone says, you're going to get them crooked and infected. And that's probably fine.
But maybe I'm naive to piercings. What do you get if it's not a gun? Like a needle?
Yeah, that's the proper way to do it.
Really? But that seems also like more painful, right? Because then they have to.
That's what I thought.
I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs.
I just wanted the gun. Piercings. Just take me to a Claire's.
That's how I got these.
For
bad
those
boys.
Who maybe who are outside of the country, Claire's is like, it's all purple inside. First of all.
That's the perfect way to describe it, Claire's. Okay, if you were to, like, three words to describe Claire's, I would do, like, purple, rhinestones, and, like, glitter.
I would say purple, butterflies.
Yes.
And like fuzzy scrunchies.
Yep, that's nailed just, it. Nailed it. It's just that's Claire's.
It's accessories for preteen girls.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed since 1997 when I first went there.
Exactly. I was just going to say, like, I remember being that young. It's probably like late 1990s, walking into a Claire's because it's like the first time you're there with just your girlfriends. So, like, you go to the mall, go to Claire's. And A, I remember.
Get your ears pierced. This is what you do.
But I remember thinking it was like a very fancy store. I never saw it as like a cheap tchotchke like store. I saw it as like, because they used to have like, well, they probably still do, but like prom tiaras.
The nice place and to get like, your rhinestones.
Yeah, so I was like, whoa, like I can't wait till I'm old enough to get like a rhinestone tiara and like wear it to a dance. Like I remember being that
like
young.
Like who wears a tiara to a dance
Yeah, like
anymore.
I remember being that young, having that thought, like I can't wait to come back here when I'm old enough to get like a tiara for my first high school dance.
Jeez.
That's...
So I'm smelling like chicken fingers. I'm wearing a shirt with a picture of Santa Claus on it that says, I believe. And my friend Lisa is wearing like the matching shirt, which was funny because they weren't actually purchased together. I found them both a Goodwill. Oh. And they were separate branded shirts. Like they were slightly different, but they had the same theme going on. Like one said believe and the other said I believe.
It's very serendipitous.
So we were like kicking off the holiday season.
I'm glad I was invited to said night.
You were invited, but unavailable to join.
I was working late and I said, shucks. I really wish
you would have hated every moment of this. The worst though... It gets worse. So I'm like ready to get my ears pierced.
Yes.
And then I'm like chatty Kathy. And they're like, oh, I was like, I just had happy hour at the Rainforest Cafe. And if you really want to get a good deal drink, like I had three drinks and blah, blah, blah. And the girl's like, ooh. If you've been drinking, I can't pierce your ears. And I was shocked. I didn't realize it was like tattoo rules. Like, I'm like, it's just my ears. It's fine.
It's fine. Pierce them.
And Lisa is like, I love how... She's got the best personality. She can be very direct, but also very, like, polite about it. Just assertive. And she's like, it's fine. We'll just get the ears pierced. We won't have to talk about it. We'll pay. We'll walk out. It's a transaction. It's fine. We won't say – like, she was really trying to convince her. And she went to the level of, like, can we talk to a manager?
Right.
And I was like, shit.
Here we are.
And then, of course, she did the – I'm the manager. This poor girl. She's like 22 years
of
old.
This purple glitter world.
22-year-old, the manager of Claire's. And she's just like, I need you both to leave. That was the lowest point of my, like, existence.
I was going to say, so Megan has now been kicked out of the Renaissance Fair in Arizona. Now been kicked out of a Claire's in Chandler, Arizona. What will she get kicked out of next? Who knows?
Well, after we got politely asked to leave the Claire's.
Oh, we did get asked to leave to a pub in London, but that's a separate story.
We did?
The Black Swan. Black Swan. I wouldn't leave because I was still having my drinks.
Oh, they weren't asking us to leave. They were just closing. They wanted us out.
They were just asking us to leave.
Yeah, they were like kicking us out. That's true. Were just aggressively saying, we're closing. Can you go now?
And I simply said, no. I'm enjoying my
Elizabeth
wine.
Goes, when I finish my drink, I will. And I was like, oh, God. We're starting
as I have this much left and sipping slowly. Continue your story.
All that said, the bartender, Caden, shout out to Caden at Rainforest Cafe, happily accepted us back after the Claire's
debacle.
And anyways, that was my Black Friday. I got turned down at Claire's.
But you had the goblet full of nuggies, and that's what's important.
And that goblet turns into a flashlight on the bottom. Kind of
yeah,
fun.
That's what she sent me as, like, the cool picture of, like, hey, come to us hanging out. I thought it would be, like, a picture of her and Lisa, like, hanging out at the bar. The picture is, like, the flashlight on the wall, and it's just, like, a tiger eyeball. I was like, what is this?
Look at this awesome flashlight I just got.
You didn't even
that
say
I overpaid
anything.
For
I don't
with,
think
for
there was
my
any,
Mai Tai.
There was no context. It was, like, come to Rainforest Cafe, tiger eye on the wall. I was like, oh. Nice. That's good. That being said, maybe think about your ear piercing a little bit longer. Not to be your mother, but maybe you actually don't want it.
I want it.
How long have you been thinking about that? That's a stupid question.
A solid 3 weeks.
Oh. Maybe wait 6 weeks and see how you feel.
The temp one looks cute.
It is cute.
Thanks.
But that's why they make temp ones, so you can get it out of your system and move on.
I'll just get a tattoo instead. That's fine. Of the tiger eye that says Rainforest Cafe
tiger
on it.
On half of her shoulder.
with, like, the barcode to get the discount at the Rainforest
Cafe. Like, the QR code for happy hour. That's good.
Mm. All righty.
Speaking of wild animals,
Megan. Ooh, good transition.
Thank you.
Good transition.
Just popped in my brain. Really, we have natural. A really juicy one today, and it's one I have never heard of before we talked about it for this episode, and I'm very glad Megan brought it to my attention. Which, how did you come across this one? Do you know?
I Googled interesting executions.
Good for you. This is a very interesting one. I'm surprised this one hasn't just, like, come out of the woodwork, because it's, like, very unique, I guess. It's a very special style of execution.
It's very, like, folklorish.
It almost feels like an urban legend. It feels like it's not real, but this is very much a real confirmed execution, circa late 1500s. So our man of the hour, our man of the evening, is Peter Stump.
Guess what? We can properly pronounce his name, even though he's German.
I'm sure we're not even saying it right.
Peter Stump.
Yeah. How do you say Peter in German? Just Peter?
Peter Stump.
Peter?
Peter. We did some German-themed food for tonight. We had sauerkraut and brats.
Yes.
I could not find the soft pretzels. Very disappointed about that.
It's okay.
Sauerkraut
was enough for me.
Potato pancakes, which I thought was German, but
latke. It's like a Jewish dish.
I know it's Jewish, but I thought it was German, too.
A little bit of both, I suppose. I don't know. You tell us, listeners. Latke?
Hey, actually, this might be a poor timing for this. There was some parts in the last episode.
Oh.
And the episode before that.
Oh.
Where we were like, oh, we have to look into that, and then I'll follow up. And this is really bad timing. Never mind.
You're here to tell us we have not followed up on any of it. Is that what you're saying?
There was some research that I've done since when, like, listening, and we were like, oh, we should look into that. And then I did, and then I didn't share what I learned.
But would you like to share it now?
It feels like poor timing, so I apologize for the interruption.
You already interrupted, yeah. And we're talking about Peter Stump, so just continue, and we'll get back to Peter.
Okay, side note. In Perkin the Pretender.
Yes.
We were bringing up the church at the Tower of London and if it was Protestant or not.
Oh. At that era.
I always forget the name of this church. I even said it wrong in the episode.
Well, do you think they just said chapel? St.
Vincular at... I always forget the name of this church.
The one inside Tower of London.
So I thought it was Protestant. Or no, I thought it was Catholic. And you're like, is it Catholic? And I was like, I don't know. I assumed it was.
Yeah.
It was one of those churches that was Catholic.
And turned Protestant.
And then it went back and forth, like, during the...
King Henry VIII's reign.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. During the Restoration.
Okay.
And now it's the Church of England because of King Henry VIII.
Yes. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Because obviously it's been around since William the Conqueror. So it had to have been Catholic for, like, 1,500 years. Yeah, it was Catholic, years.
But then it changed over.
Not
I'm really sorry to interrupt. I was thinking of...
Yes.
Things in my brain.
No, that's good.
Let's get back to Peter Stump.
Wait, was there another one from the last episode?
I don't remember what it was now, but...
Come back in like 10 minutes and interrupt something else and you got it. We had a funny moment because obviously this is the first season we're doing video and we were watching part of the video together. And we're like, Megan, I think you just like zone out a lot of the time. And I don't really know what I do, right? Like I'm just speaking, but I feel like I generally look at the mic and I look at you. Maybe I look at my notes. And when I speak, Megan just goes. And I'm like, my God, am I that boring that Megan just mouth open, catching flies?
You're like, making me laugh. Look at you made me spit out my line.
Let's go get your ears pierced now.
I'm not drunk. I'm just laughing.
Okay.
I can't perform like this.
It's beautiful. I think this is a real life snapshot.
Damn it. You made me laugh while I was in the middle of a sip of wine.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
I'm laughing because I'm envisioning exactly what I saw whenever you get into it, I just go, just stare. I didn't even realize I did that.
It just goes that way.
Oh, this is a terrible episode. I have to cut all of this out.
No,
I have
keep
to change
it.
My shirt.
Please keep it in. This is all part of the experience. But
we always say I'm a klutz. Look at the wine all down my shirt now.
You believe me now? Like, for 4 or 5 seasons, well, you know, I've been telling you guys, like, Megan, ultimate klutz, can't have wine around her. This is why.
Now this we is know. Why, because I, if you wouldn't say funny things while I'm mid-sip, sorry. And I won't spit it out all over
sorry,
me.
Sorry, I'm so funny.
Okay, can we talk about Peter Stump?
I'm trying.
I'm so sorry. No,
damn it.
This is like, we're really off course. This is going to be difficult.
You know what? We got this. So
all right,
Peter
we can do this.
Stump. Peter Stump. And yes. let's talk a little bit about, like, who he is before we just go into early life, right? Because you've probably never heard of this man. Why is he famous? Why is this a special episode? Well, we won't tell you a whole lot because we're going to divulge everything as we go on. But you have to know that it involves lycanthropy. Lycanthropy.
What the hell is that? I'd never learned that word.
It's like werewolfism.
Oh.
Yeah. So it involves werewolves, it involves cannibalism, it involves satanic rituals.
All of our favorites.
And it involves crazy, crazy execution styles. So that's all you need to know going into this. So if you're like, who the hell is Peter Stump? Why are we here in Germany? Circa 1500s.
If you're like, this is a shit show and you're about to turn off this episode, nope. We just hooked you in.
He just got you back.
Got you hooked.
Stayed on course.
More the situation on mine.
You can't even see it in the
you
video.
Okay,
it's a
perfect.
Little. It's
okay,
fine.
Great. Thanks. All right. Thanks for the encouragement.
Where's your Tide
Thanks.
Pen?
You're welcome. It's downstairs.
Okay. So, Peter Stump was born in Bedburg, Germany, 1530s. What did I just say, Megan?
I listen. Peter Stump was born in Bedburg, Germany, 1520s.
Close enough. Yes. 1530s. Anyway, okay. His name also, just so you know, is like kind of up for debate. Stump is the generally accepted last name, but some people refer to him as Stub with different misspellings, Stumpf, Stube. Some even said he went by the weird like pseudonym of Abel Griswold.
That's very different from Peter Stump.
I know. I don't know where that one comes from, but they said Abel or Abil or Ubel.
Sounds like a Harry Potter name. Abel Griswold, like Albus Grimwald.
Well, reminds me of Vacation, you know.
Albus.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
Griswold.
The Griswolds. So, but the generally accepted name is Peter Stump. So, Peter Stump, we don't know, again, a lot of his early life because he's essentially just a farmer in this rural town in Germany. And he is a fairly wealthy farmer. Like, some say that he didn't even, like, they didn't necessarily know how he came about his kind of small wealth that he had. But he was doing really well. He was very well respected in the community. He was, like, a local Protestant. They said that he wasn't, the reason why his birth and everything is a little bit obscure is because during the 30 Years' War, a lot of the, like, local church registers were destroyed. But, again, very likely that he was a very well thought of member of the Protestant church in that community. He was also a widower, so he did have a wife at some point who left him with 2 children, a daughter and a son. And that's really all we know about kind of his early life. But allegedly, throughout this whole time, while he's kind of this like well-to-do man about town in the small little German village, he apparently is there while all these very mysterious things are happening in the community. There was like mornings where people wake up and a lot of their like livestock is slaughtered, like their guts kind of strewn around. There's like people that are going missing every so often. And again, we know in this era, nobody really follows up on missing people. Like all of a sudden, Sarah from the village is gone. Like, who knows what happened to her? She could have
probably hated her life and tried to get out of there to go find the big city.
She went to Frankfurt, you know, like who knows what happened to Sarah. But there was just mysterious things. I'm mentioning Sarah. But there's just mysterious things happening from time to time. And no one thought much of it other than, okay, well, we're in Germany. We're in a forested area. So obviously there are wolves. Like, wolves can come. They can do this to livestock. Maybe they claim a life or two here and there. So no one really thought much of it for years while he's just living about. But he apparently, during this era, people started catching on that he was doing something like where goats were being abducted, lamb, sheep, men, women, children, and they believed it might be him under the guise of a werewolf. So for whatever reason, people had suspicions about him specifically. And I don't know if it was because, again, maybe like his small amount of wealth, maybe his like more prominence, But people just started looking a little bit at him. And people also thought there was a weird relationship once his wife died with him and his daughter. They thought these two were a little too close for like daughter and father. There's something going on here. And he had a noted, like, kind of incestuous relationship with a mistress who was also a relative. We really don't know what type of relative. And it's kind of weird to call that incestuous at the time, because this is an era where you married your cousin.
Right?
Like
I thought that cousins and second cousins, no, first there's cousins, there's your first cousins.
There's your second cousins. no, honey.
Yeah, I thought, and I read that too, that they thought that even a distant relative was considered incestuous.
Yeah.
I can't say that word.
That's okay. But so it was kind of weird that all of a sudden, like in this small rural village in Germany, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, that's an incestuous relationship, when this was an era where people definitely married their first cousins and it was okay in most of Europe. So
very biased, it sounds like. Very strange. Like they got to make the rules of whatever they felt was okay and not okay.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the backstory of like where we're leading off. And there is also, again, it should be noted, in this time in Europe, there's kind of like this big sentiment of like, if you're a woman and you're kind of strange and you're outside of the main social circle, you might be deemed a witch. Mm-hmm. And if you're a man in that same circumstance, you might be a werewolf. And it's kind of interesting to see how like the female-male traits align with those things. Like with females, if you're being devious or mysterious or like, again, maybe you're an old midwife and people go to you for help. Like you must be brewing potions and like mm-hmm. concocting things and casting spells. And if you're a man who's maybe like a lonely shepherd, like farmer person who has this random wealth, like what are you doing to like acquire those things? Maybe you're being a werewolf at night and you're like murdering families and like
it's
ransacking
so
places. So it's just like there's this weird sentiment, and it's mostly in France and Germany. It's not huge, like it's not a big prevalent thing in the UK. Or other countries, because it's really about like the wooded areas, like where there are wolves and where these like cattle are being murdered in the middle of the night.
And don't you think that's funny that this is also where like the Hans Christian Andersen and the
Little Red Riding Hood,
yeah, and all of the old fables were coming from. Also,
yeah, it was a lot of French and German stories,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I always obviously like I knew that these folklores were. We're very deep-rooted in these types of histories, but we've all heard about witches and the accusation of witches during this time. I, up until tonight, I never realized that you could accuse someone of being a werewolf.
Yeah.
I knew that men could potentially be accused of being a warlock, which was less popular than being accused of a witch.
Yeah.
But this part was funny to me, that they kind of thought, like, women, if they were associated with the occult, mm-hmm. they were more their powers came more from spells and potions and charms and conjuring things,
right? Like being devious and secretive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Men were more, and we'll get into this a little bit more, so I don't want to go too deep into this, but men mm-hmm. were considered to get powers from things, like they would, which reminds yes. me of warlocks, wizards, Harry Potter, like they would have the
like
wand.
Objects, yeah.
It was, and which mm-hmm. I almost kind of respect. Like women could innately create something from within out of nothing.
Or like nature.
Yeah, mm-hmm. nature, and they would more or less like put a charm or a spell in, and conjure something out of nothing, while men were given some type of an object.
That's a good.
Presumably by the devil.
Yeah.
They were given something to have that power, and that powerful object didn't live within that person, but could be carried on throughout somebody else.
Like you could pass it on.
Yeah, it was whoever mm-hmm. just owned the object at the time. So
anyways,
we'll get more into that part of it, but
I love that.
It is really just funny to me of this whole time period, because people were so on edge. And we always talk about the witch accusations.
Yes.
No idea. In the meantime, men were like, well, he could be a werewolf. Fuck. Like,
exactly.
I had no idea that was even an issue.
Because it was way less common, right? Like, because we're talking about pretty much the 15th to 18th centuries, where there's famine, there's plague, there's wars, there's religious tensions, you know, all over Europe. So it's very easy to kind of fall back into your superstitious fears. Like, instead of just being like, okay, this is the way of the world, and we got Catholics versus Protestants, and this is the shit that's coming out of it.
Just be okay with the religion part of it. You don't need to bring up witchcraft and werewolfisms. What'd you call it?
Lycanthropy. I don't know if it's lycanthropy or lycanthrophy. Anyway, someone will correct me. But
as they do.
As they do.
We love it when you correct us.
That's helpful. But anyway, but so just to give you some perspective, like at this that point in time in Europe, there was about 30 to 45,000 witch cases between mm-hmm. those centuries. Meanwhile, there's only about 300 werewolf cases.
I mean, but still more than I thought that ever existed.
Exactly. This is the first known like werewolf case I've ever heard of.
This gives me so much more appreciation to J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Obviously, as Harry Potter lovers, I know we all are, mm-hmm. we've always known that she's done deep research. For example, basilisks and mandrakes and all of these things that she brings up were actually at some point
like came mythological, up
from somewhere. The Philosopher's yeah. Stone, they're all from something.
Right.
And of course, Professor Lupin is a werewolf.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of like Halloween-y, cheesy. Little did we know that was actually a true concern yeah. in medieval and dark ages. The dark ages.
The dark ages. But yeah, it's very deep rooted in like, yeah, like these like folklore legends, you know, these things again that are coming out mostly from France and Germany with their deeply wooded areas. And because again, they have larger wolf populations, like not only they just have to be concerned about wolves, they have to be concerned about rabid wolves too. Mm. So like the wolves that just actually go crazy, because if you're just like seeing a wolf pack here and there, you're all right, keep the sheep safe, like there's wolves around. Yeah. But if you encounter like a rabid wolf who you're like, oh my God, this could be a possessed demon human. You know, like
a whole new level of something to be afraid of.
Like your new fear unlocked. Like your yeah. you know, your mind goes into strange places. So so this is all, again, because it's this rural German town, these things are starting to surface where it's like we need to pin this on somebody. Like who can we look at that's going to be the ultimate scapegoat for what we think is a werewolf on the loose, essentially.
Mm. Mm. Did you not think of the, I can't call it new, it's from like 10 or 12 years ago.
Still new to me.
Within, you know, to us as millennials, it's still new.
Yeah.
But what's her face?
You think about Twilight?
No, I'm thinking of the new, the red, Little Red Riding Hood.
Into the Woods?
No.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. The girl's name from Mean Girls.
Aunt Amanda Seyfried?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That movie that she did of Red Riding Hood.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
And that was very much like a German folklore, mm-hmm. and it was like the true fear in the town that there was a wolf amongst them, a rabid wolf, and they were pitting it on a person, and it actually ended up being a true werewolf, and it was someone in the town yeah. who would transform, and it makes me think of that, and I think that movie, mm-hmm. like, obviously, the story in itself, Little Red Riding Hood, is based on the werewolf folklore,
yes. yeah.
but this movie kind of dives into that actual reality of what towns believed.
Exactly. And it's
the
again,
real version of it.
Exactly. And it's the same thing as these small towns in like, you know, London in America where there's like, oh, the witches and like they're causing all these bad things to happen in the town. It's that same type of fear yeah. and like, you know, once one person starts a rumor and it's a small town, like these things just like gain traction.
I kind of love it.
Yeah.
So 1589 is where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And Peter Stump, he's got enough suspicion on him. Enough people are pointing their finger thinking like, I think he's the wolf.
Right.
I think he's the werewolf.
And I don't know if you have notes about how he was actually caught.
I have a little bit. I know why they thought it was him.
There's a couple reasons.
There's a few reasons.
You tell yours and then I'll see if I have anything different.
One of the most basic reasons, which I don't know if we were really in agreement about this. We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Was Peter was a Protestant, mm-hmm. and the Catholics were trying to, like, weed out the Protestants, and they were using this as an excuse and a reason to get rid of him.
Right.
I feel like that's a very easy out.
I mean, that's really going around all over Europe right now. Like, it's hard to say that that's the reason why he specifically was, you know, yeah. taken out.
One of my favorite reasons of why they came up with this mm-hmm. is, again, we know that there is wolves in the area, and one of the locals, they actually fought one of the wolves off, and yeah. they cut off
paw.
Hold on. Oh, cut off its left paw.
Oh my God, Megan, where'd your hand go?
It's a parlor trick. For those who are not watching the video, you are missing out on this. You're also missing out on the wine stain that has dribbled all the way down my shirt.
Looks good.
Thanks. So they cut off the left paw of the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Stump, which we could not find how his hand was actually ever cut off.
But he,
Or when.
When was the biggest thing?
When. All we know is he was called Peter Stump because he had no left hand. So they assumed because the werewolf, sorry, the wolf.
Yeah.
The wolf that they had chopped off its left paw, mm-hmm. they thought it was very conveniently similar.
Left
hand, his left paw.
Exactly. This wolf's hand.
Must have been you.
Paw's gone and now your left hand is gone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like very weird timelines of like we heard it happen in an accident. We heard it happen when he was younger. All of a sudden, people are saying this is the reason why they even arrested him was because his hand was magically gone one day and, you know, very unclear timeline of when his hand was gone. It was confirmed gone at some point. We just don't know when.
Hmm. Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Did you have other reasons of why they thought it was him?
I had two other reasons.
Oh, you beat me.
Yeah. So one was he did have a mistress, Catherine.
Oh, he did have Catherine.
So he was a widower, so his wife had died, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after, I don't know if it was before she died and then this just continued after her death. But at some point, he gets this mistress, Catherine, who is, in fact, married to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So her husband is suspecting their infidelity and essentially pins everything werewolf-ish.
What a great backup
On Peter what to be like, we got to get this guy because he knows that his wife's having an affair and he wants to get this guy in trouble.
Note to self, if you ever want to accuse your significant other of potentially rendezvousing elsewhere,
yes.
Just stay there with the werewolf.
Yeah, or a witch.
Or a witch.
She's a witch.
Simple.
He's a werewolf. Yeah. Simple as that. And then the last reason, which seems so completely far-fetched, but some people did say this, which I think is, again, more about the urban legend and the folklore and people telling stories over generations. But it is said that he was arrested after they actually spotted the werewolf in town and decided to get a mob together to, like, chase the werewolf. And
ooh, I like this. A good wolf chase.
Yeah, like, deep into the forest. So they're chasing this wolf, like, we finally got him. Here's the werewolf. And then they removed what was called like a magic wolfskin belt. It's a black wolfskin belt. And they said they were able to catch up with the wolf, remove this belt, which apparently is the source of his power. And they saw in front of their eyes this werewolf transform back into a man. And that man is Peter Stump.
Where are the werewolves now? Where have they gone to?
That's an interesting story.
Witches are today. However, you know, Wiccan, and you want to approach it. I know we've talked about it before in other episodes.
Right.
That is a real thing, and it is a religion, and people do celebrate. Sorry, people do practice being Wiccan and celebrate.
You want to know where the werewolves are in society.
Where are the werewolves? Where did they go?
For the last time, Mr. Adams, we do not know where they meet. That's from Adam's family.
I figured.
That's a good one.
The last I've heard is Professor Lupin, third year dark arts professor.
True,
Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Last known werewolf.
Never heard of them again.
It is kind of true. You don't hear about the werewolves so much anymore.
The vampires we hear about.
We do still hear about vampires. Hollywood vampires. Happens.
People who get their teeth shaved and they truly believe they're a vampire.
Oh, like Anne Rice fans.
Yeah.
I like that. And other people say it might have been a combination of these things, right? Like maybe he, in fact, he for sure didn't have the left hand. Maybe there was a wolf that didn't have a left hand. Maybe the chase actually did happen, but what happened instead was, like, they lost track of the wolf, and Peter at the same time happened to be in the forest.
It could be wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, it could be totally like, a combination
of
all these factors.
Bro, they're on a wolf hunt. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
And he was naked, and he was shivering in the snow, and he was, like, whimpering.
With his mistress. Catherine.
With his one hand.
Now we're getting weird.
But all that said, they catch him.
They
arrest him.
In some way, shape, or form, they arrest him.
And just a reminder, we are in Epreth? Am I saying that right?
Is it the city?
Yeah, the village. It's the village of Epreth.
So it's right next to Bedburg, Germany.
Bedburg.
Yeah.
Which is outside of Cologne, Germany. But it's a very small village.
Very
so imagine
tiny.
This is like the big to-do of the town, right? They catch the so-said werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do when you want somebody to confess something in 1589 Germany?
Well, obviously you torture him.
Just a little.
Did we ever talk about how at Tower of London they had a sign that said, like, contrary to popular belief, there wasn't many people tortured in these torture chambers.
I was like, what type of optimistic angle are they trying to take here?
Kills me. All we've been talking about for 5 years is the amount of torture that went on, specifically at the Tower of London. We're standing in the torture chambers at the Tower of London, and there's this sign that's like, there really wasn't a ton of torture that happened in England. I know
this place kind of has like a bad reputation about torture, but hear me out. There were also weddings and a church
and coronations.
Torture was on the lower scale, but all you ever hear about is the torture at the Tower of London. So we're like, I feel like they're trying to really fix their reputation here.
Constantine the Frog knows. Like, everyone knows Tower of London. terrible destination wedding.
They absolutely still racked people at the Tower of London, despite how they want to say,
good job, England.
Reduce the number that it may have been.
Good job, England, for trying to act like you didn't torture people that much.
They also tortured Peter Stump.
They did. In Germany. Right.
In Germany. They racked him, which is probably the best way to get anybody to say anything that you want.
Especially quick, right?
Yeah. I'm reading a book right now called... Oh, I talked about it earlier, but I never started it. I bought it. Okay, backtrack. At the time.
Okay.
What episode were we talking about with Jans Midla? Jans Midla, the executioner.
That was ages ago.
That was last season. There's a famous executioner of Prague named Jans Midla, and we did a whole episode on him and his famous executions. And there is a book called The Executioner of Prague.
Yes.
Which is... historical novel based on Jans Midla.
Right.
Whoa. I'm like barely a third of the way through. I just started it and I can't put it down.
I love that.
If you're really interested in like the nitty gritty of... This is like worse than Game of Thrones. It's like very descriptive.
Very graphic.
Where I'm going at with this is I just last night... it's like my before bed reading, which is probably part of my issue.
I just want you to all know now, she's rewatching Game of Thrones.
I am. I'm binge watching.
And then she's late night reading this very gruesome execution book. And then she's wondering why her dreams are all terrible. She's having night terrors.
Yeah, I also... I cheated on Elizabeth and I went to go see Napoleon.
Yeah, we were supposed to go see Napoleon together. That's cool. I don't need to see Napoleon with a friend. You know, I'll go see it alone.
Well, I saw it. And like any battle movie, no spoilers, but like Braveheart, Patriot, all of that, there's always gory scenes of the battle. And the whole audience is like, ooh, ooh. And I'm just sitting there like, what? Like, it's child's play.
She's sitting there throwing around business cards, getting kicked out of the movie theater, too.
No, I'm just sitting
there. She didn't mention she was also kicked out of the movie theater.
No, I'm eating my popcorn. I'm just like, this is great. And I'm looking around, realizing everyone's like kind of covering their eyes. I'm like, I think I need to stop watching Game of Thrones. And I'm just becoming immune to it. And I don't know, maybe this episode's not... This podcast may not be healthy for my mindset. But where I was going at, long story short...
I also think I found the episode, by the way. Anyway, continue.
Say it. Which one is it?
Well, I mean, I have it written as The Old Town Square Execution, Season 4, Episode 12. We talk about Prague.
That's the one. Who was the person? God, they all blend together
at some point. I know things about things, okay?
Your handwriting's too small, you can't read it.
I know my handwriting, and I can't read
The book I'm reading about the execution of Prague, I just read a chapter in detail of what it's like to rack somebody.
Jan Midla. He wore a red Jan hood. Midla. There we go. Mm-hmm. Sorry, continue.
The rack. So we all know what the rack is when you get pulled and you get stretched.
So you're like, again... For our listeners on just the audio, I apologize.
Do you want some ASMR of the racking?
Oh, my God. I just learned what that is, and I don't want to know anything. No, stop. Don't do that. I don't like that. Don't do it, Megan. It's fine, Megan. We're going to rack somebody now. First, the rope's tightened. Okay, I can't do it. I can't. It's so...
Whatever. This is going to get kinky really fast.
It's so gross. I don't know what that is, but it's a thing. I don't know what it is. I learned about it today. Anyway. Okay. But you're literally, like, you're stretched out, so your arms are, like, back behind your head, attached to ropes in opposite directions, and then your legs are the same on the bottom, right? So you're, like, in a big X. And what they do is they just pull you so that the ropes continually tighten, and they stretch your limbs until all of your bones come out of their sockets.
So in the book, when they were describing it, yes, the bones pop out. And they talk about like the skin. There's like always like a significant one moment when they do pop out. And then there's like a big scream.
Yeah.
But yes, also their muscles are tearing. Yes. And their skin is tearing. Yes. And their veins are tearing.
Yeah.
And sometimes, a lot of the times, especially if the person was going to be executed days later and they wanted them to still kind of be like, you know, well presented for the audience,
they would not have... Not so loosey-goosey.
Not loosey-goosey. Not a little Gumby doll. There would be a doctor still on site and they would snap their arms and legs back in sometimes just to keep them, like, going for... Like, they don't want them just, like...
Yeah. We've had executions like that where they just literally wheel them to their execution.
Anne Askew.
Yeah, Anne Askew was literally, like, a decrepit little, like, puppet. Like, she's all crumbled because of how much they tortured her.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, anyways, they did this to Peter Stump. And shockingly, as his limbs are being pulled out, he confesses to being a werewolf.
Weird.
Weird how Weird that works
all
out.
Of a sudden he's like, all right.
Spooky.
I've been a werewolf for 25 years. Hi, my name's Peter, and I've been a werewolf for 25 years.
He says that when he was about 12, he made a negotiation with the devil.
Pact with the devil.
And he gave his soul to the devil.
Yeah. And in exchange, the devil gave him the black werewolf skin belt that we mentioned.
Which is the object that gave him his magical power. So it wasn't like he was a werewolf.
No.
It was that this belt was a werewolf. And like whoever put on the belt became the wolf.
Yeah.
And he just owned the belt and at his will would put it on and be the werewolf.
It's like Sailor Moon with your little moon wand, you know. You wave it around and then, woo, you're Sailor Scout.
Hannah Montana puts on her wig and she's like, I'm Hannah Montana.
Nobody recognizes me. Yeah, so we all have our magical objects we put on, right? You know, we still do this today.
They called him for 25 years. He was an insatiable bloodsucker.
Yes.
He admits to killing a total of 16 people, amongst, of course, all the livestock and whatever.
Yeah.
14 children, one being his own son.
Yeah. He ate the brains of his own son as a werewolf.
So many questions. So the way people are getting this information, sorry, I zoned out. Did you talk about the pamphlet?
I have not yet.
Okay. Wasn't sure if I just wasn't listening.
That's okay.
So the way that people have received this information is they did locate a 16-page pamphlet. It was rewritten in 1590 in English in London. There's an original German copy. But they never found it. But right. This pamphlet was rediscovered in 1920 by an occultist.
Occultist.
Thank you.
He's not an optometrist.
Montagu Summers.
Perfect.
Anyways, it was like a pretty large pamphlet that was very descriptive of everything that we're sharing right now.
Yeah.
But I still have questions. It details like
confession, but there's not
like, what happened to the son?
Well, see, I know.
So Peter says, I ate my son as a werewolf. Okay, let's believe that.
Yeah.
But if we don't want to believe that, then what actually happened to the son?
I don't know. I mean, even if he wasn't a werewolf who ate all these people as a wolf, he might have just been a serial killer that actually killed all these people.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
They kind of like the idea of like, I can be a werewolf.
Yeah. And maybe he was like, you know, part cannibal or full cannibal. I don't know if you could be part cannibal. I think once you cross the line.
I'm only a cannibal Monday through Friday. On the weekends, I take a break.
It's like drinking. Like, you know, I only on podcast nights and then Friday through Sunday, I drink wine. He's only a...
And Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. So cannibalism, you know, be that as it may. So he...
Wait, 14 children and 2 pregnant women.
The pregnant women part's nasty. Trigger warning. You say it.
Me say it? I've been watching Game of Thrones. I can say it.
Go ahead. Trigger warning.
Also Game of Thrones spoiler warning.
Ew.
Ew. The pregnant women. He said he would pull out the fetuses inside of the pregnant women, and that's why he liked the pregnant women, because it was like...
Dual.
It was like an appetizer with the entree.
He called them dainty morsels. So he
just let that settle for a minute.
I don't know. He admitted this. He admitted that he pulled out, quote unquote, their hearts. I don't know if that means the baby's hearts or if that means the woman's
all the hearts.
The woman's hearts, all the hearts.
all the hearts.
But yeah, he admitted to that because he liked them, like, warm and pulsating and all of that nastiness.
Because he was only a partial cannibalist.
You know, it was a Saturday night. What are you going to do?
I mean, so in total, 16 people over the span of 25 years.
Which, if you really look at that, I mean, that's only one every 2 years, right? Like, is that so bad? Like, you know, everyone's got to have rules. Like, oh, I only, like, get blackout drunk, like, every 6 months. Like, whatever your rule is, right? Like, this guy is only...
Only at Rainforest Cafe do I get blacked out drunk on Black Friday.
You have... I feel like you have a once-a-year Rainforest Cafe event, you know?
Everyone has their traditions.
We all have our events, our traditions, our things. We're like, hey, once a year, I'm going to do this.
Well, they called him an insatiable bloodsucker for that.
But, twice. You know,
Once every other year.
Yeah, once every 2 years is not that bad.
What would you call that? It's not biannual.
No, it is biannual. It's
a
like
biannual cannibalistic episode.
Yeah. I learned that with biweekly when I was in meetings, you know, corporate America.
Oh, people have different versions.
Because they say biweekly is 2 times a week or it could be every other week. It's like, you know.
Have you seen these jokes when they're like, oh, I thought EOD meant end of December?
Yeah, I like that.
We should all... get on that
adhere to this. So I don't think it's that bad. I mean, bloodlust, really, once every 2 years, not that bad.
So, yeah. So he admits to being a werewolf since he was 12 when he got the magic belt. Why are you laughing?
It just sounds funny.
Wait, you don't believe it?
No, I do. I very much believe the black werewolf skin.
Thought I was convincing.
Belt that he has that no one was able to find. They asked him the location.
I cannot believe we're 50 minutes into this. I was like, this story's not going to be long enough for tonight. We just laugh enough. We've been giggly all day.
I'm sorry. But
we've
been really laughing all really night. Quick, they tried to get the location of said belt from him. And they're like, okay, so you claim you have this magical belt you got from the devil. And they're like, where's the belt now? And
where's the belt?
His he quote unquote was like, I put it in the valley. The valley. And they searched the valley and found no belts, which is crazy. They couldn't find a belt in the giant valley that he vaguely pointed
to. If they had tortured him correctly, this is how I would have done it.
I know.
I would have just taken off a fingernail each time and made him walk to show us the belt.
Maybe you're gonna be an executioner one day and that's your calling.
And reading a lot about how to do it.
In the apocalypse, you don't want to mess with Megan. She's ready for it.
Here we are, October 31st, 1589. It's a great day.
We didn't actually mention kind of one of the worst parts of the story that was confirmed.
What?
Very Game of Thronesy with his daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, you can also say
that. Oh, because it's also Game of Thronesy?
Yeah.
So he admits, yes, I killed 16 people. And yes, I'm a bloodsucker. Mm-hmm. Yes, I gave my soul to the devil. I killed my son. I have a mistress. And I also have a relationship with my daughter and potentially fathered one of her babies. So.
That's
all around, worst. Bad dude. That's... And I just wonder if he's just like, bring it on. Like, yeah. I am the worst scum of the earth. Not only am I a wolf, but I will,
right?
You know,
and his
all the other stuff.
His defense for the daughter relationship, too, was he was basically like, the devil sent me what's called like a succubus. Like, it's like literally like this sexy enchantress, like seductress. Like, oh, sorry, the devil sent me like this, like, you know, being like a long time ago or whatever that I've like had a relationship with. He's like, so I also have like a sex craving, and it's a tiny town. There's not a lot of people. So what does he do? He goes towards his daughter, obviously, which is highly.
She was at least over 15. If anybody needs that,
highly disgusting. At least she was over 15. That is still very disgusting.
Me and my Game of Thrones mindset.
You're like, oh, well, she wasn't.
Is she bleeding, sir?
Stop. It's so gross. So
he admits binging this show.
Yeah, Megan's getting dark and twisted, and
darker and twistier.
And he admits to being again one of the worst people alive. Cool. So now we're ready for All Hallows Eve, 1589. Megan,
you go for it. Talk about the good stuff.
This is the day of the execution, and obviously it's a small town. They know they're going to be making an example out of him. And for what they're making an example of, it's kind of unclear because, again, there's no actual court records. They're obviously making a stand against, like, don't be a werewolf.
don't have sex with your daughter.
Don't have sex with your daughter. Like, don't succumb to this enchantress that the devil gives you. Don't wear his belts he gives you.
Just give away the belt.
Don't have a mistress, you know, who's also still married. And don't murder people and eat brains. Like, yeah. Yeah, lots of stuff, right?
I mean, like, it's 1589 Germany. There's going to be weird shit going on.
Yo, it is what it is. So they want to make it very clear that he is going to have the worst type of execution. So the first thing that they do is they put him on a wheel, right? Stretch him out, similar to like the rack situation. They kind of stretch him out over this wheel, tie him up, and they essentially peel the skin from his body with these red hot pincers. Which we've had executions like that in the past. That's not the first thing you want to do. We've had executions where they put like oil in it, or they like, you know, they make it even more uncomfortable than just peeling back flesh. So that's the very first thing they do.
I just have to like imagine at what point is the pain just beyond imaginable, the worst pain you've ever had, like the
knock out
last level of pain. That it's just, it can get worse.
I don't know. I mean, I know what paper cuts feel like and stuff.
I just feel like imagine that
amplified.
I am such a wuss. Aww. Yeah, I can't handle a paper cut. How am I going to have my skin peeled off?
I don't know. People live through this shit. Well, they die. But
I
then
hope I don't have to worry about
it. They first live through it. But what also is bad about this is not only are they doing this to him, but they're doing it to his daughter, whose name is Beale.
Sybil.
Her name's Sybil, but they call her Beale. It's like a nickname.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
They're doing it to her, and they're doing it to Catherine, the mistress. So they're flayed as well. Like, all on wheels, all flayed. Like, just...
If anything, this daughter is a victim.
Oh, totally. I mean, she's 15. You know, it's her father, the person she probably knows and trusts most in the world. Like, it's disgusting. I don't know what happened if she did have a kid. What happened to that child? No one ever said.
This poor girl.
Yeah. But so her, Sybil and Catherine are both flayed, then they're strangled.
I do blame
Catherine.
And then Catherine.
They're burned.
I mean, I don't think
Catherine's probably an adult.
I don't, okay, Catherine, maybe that's a little severe to get flayed and burned. But.
Whatever.
But if she is electively with a man who's also with his daughter while she's married.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more to the story of this Peter guy.
It could have been very, very duplicitous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like he had to have had some, like, I don't know, evil something going on.
Also trigger warning, and I don't even like to repeat this, but someone just told this to me. It's apparently a new documentary on Netflix. But apparently there's a new documentary about some man in, like, I don't know, rural Idaho or something in America, where he, like, locks his daughter up in a bomb shelter underneath the house, is still, like, married, has other children, you know, and, like, living happy, quote-unquote happy with his life, and they just think the daughter, like, ran away or disappeared or died. But meanwhile, he's actually, like... has her locked up and is, like,
crazy.
Abusing her sexually and, like, made her father, like, multiple children – or mother multiple children of his. So, like, that's a real fucking story, like, in America, like, modern day.
Ugh, I'm so disgusted.
And the wife had no idea, apparently. The wife had no idea.
Okay.
Like, so
maybe
who
we can't
knows?
Blame
who
the knows? Others. All right. That said, I do think – I don't think Peter was a werewolf, but I do think weird things were going on. Does he deserve that? I mean, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone deserves that. But especially just his mistress and
yeah. And
daughter.
Again, under torture, it's hard to say what's real and what's not. Like, yeah. If you're tortured, you might just say whatever. Like, maybe the first thing you admit is like, okay, I have a mistress. And then they keep racking you. And you're like,
yeah,
oh,
maybe
oh,
it's
okay.
Not even
like,
true.
Yeah, okay, I've been fooling around with my daughter. Like, and they keep racking you. And you're like, oh my God, I'm a werewolf. I ate my son's brains. Like how far
it just
does
keeps
it go?
Escalating.
Yeah. Like, maybe you're just under such duress that you're just like, I will say anything to get out of the situation until they're satisfied.
Like, so, I just want to be murdered at this point. But he probably didn't realize his daughter and his lover would be there with him. So, yeah. So, just to recap. So, flayed, meaning your skin was pulled off. Burned. Beheaded. Actually, I have that backwards. Sorry.
So, those are just the...
Catherine and Sybil.
Yeah.
They were flayed, hanged, and then burned.
Yes.
For Peter, he was flayed, And then his limbs were broken.
Yeah, they use like the back part of an axe to break.
Not even that, the sharp side of an axe.
Yeah, they use like the dull side of the axe to bash all of his limbs in and break all of his bones.
Then he was beheaded.
Then he was finally killed, beheaded.
Then burned.
Yep.
His head was put on a spike. Mm-hmm. This is cool. Yeah. I mean, take it for what it is. They set up the wheel. They put a pike up. They put his head on it. And then they put a wolf figure on the wheel as well.
Yeah.
Very Robb Stark.
Very Robb Stark.
Very Robb Starky vibes happening here.
Yeah.
Sorry, and that's my last Game of Thrones comment that I'll make, and yeah. I should probably stop binging it.
No, that's maybe, you know, just for tonight, you're already going to have bad dreams. But there was one account of one of the witnesses there at the execution who said, of all other that ever lived, none was comparable unto this hellhound. So people at the execution were like widely of the belief that we got the werewolf of the town, like, here's our guy. He deserves this like brutal end. And again, it wasn't until the modern like 1920s that the occultist Montague Summers actually like found the pamphlet and made it more famous. Because this was kind of a forgotten story for a very long time. When he found the pamphlet, he was like, oh, like this is...
Which is funny.
This is wild.
I thought they did such an extreme execution to make a statement. So like, no one will forget. No one will ever be
people
a werewolf.
People forgot 10
Don't
years later.
Don't put this werewolf belt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, what werewolf? I didn't know.
Well, I was telling Megan, because she's actually going to Germany in the spring.
Oh my gosh, I am.
I know. So I told her, I don't know
how. Lisa, my Rainforest Cafe gal.
They're probably going to seek out every Rainforest Cafe in the world, which is a very lofty goal.
And there might be one in Germany.
There could be. But if bedbug. Bedbug.
Bedburg.
Bedburg, Germany is close to your, you know, tour.
That would be cool to see.
You should go see it.
Yeah.
And see if that wolf thing is still there. I don't know if it is there or if anyone has any information.
Wait, the wolf
on it.
In the head is still there?
Not the head, but maybe the wolf, you know, statue.
Maybe there's
somewhere.
Like a memorial of a wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. They have interesting memorials these days. We've learned with a lot of our executions, there might not be like a statue and a sign and this and that, you know. There might be just something very subtle, like it's now an alleyway.
Or
but
a plaque on the ground.
There's a tiny
or
plaque,
something.
Or there's like five stars or whatever, diamonds that represent something. Like, you never quite know. It's always interesting walking around historic places like that because you're just like, everything could have happened here. You know? Like, executions and coronations and, like, you know, crazy shit over history because it's just like people compact in these really tiny areas that hold so much history.
Wow. What a really, really intuitive way to. And on that note.
Why, thank you. So that is our story of Peter and the Wolf, Mr. Peter Stump, who you tell us, werewolf or no? Will
creepy
we ever
bloke.
Know? I don't know.
He's a creepy bloke.
It's a creepy story. He's a creepy bloke. In my opinion, I think he was a creepy guy. I don't think he's a werewolf.
Kind of convinced I could go werewolf route on this guy.
I think he's just a serial
killer. Okay, a few still outstanding questions.
Okay.
Body hair per centimeter per square inch of his body.
Oh, we don't know that. Yeah. We don't know his body hair ratio.
Yeah.
Robbie would give him a run for his money.
Teeth size, don't know. Eye color, we don't know.
What big eyes you have.
I do feel like all these folklore stories come from somewhere, though, and
They
truly believed it was a real thing.
Yeah, I do have a genuine feeling like that, where like if enough stories around all the world share very similar like commonalities, like, you know, we all have stories of like dragons and mermaids and like stuff that transcends cultures and timelines and stuff.
Dinosaurs
like
that.
Okay. Something. Dinosaurs are real, everybody. They're not mythological. Well, morons.
Whoa.
But, you know, stuff like that, you're just like, there might be some truth to this, like whether it's extinct creatures or like stuff we still don't know about. We haven't even explored the depths of the oceans. Like, who knows? Who knows what's out there?
Elizabeth, this is way too much. I have to go clean the wine off
I'm
my
so
shirt.
Sorry.
Any final words?
We did miss one important quote that I just want to say. He had the likeness of a greedy, devouring wolf, strong and mighty, with eyes great and large, which in the night sparkled like fire. A mouth great and wide, and most sharp and cruel teeth, a huge body, and mighty paws. Good night. Oh, gypsy woman, slow.
spoke to me. Said you're a wolf, boy, get out of this town. Old gypsy woman spoke to me. Said you're a wolf.